You already noticed on the on your bulletin, we're going to be talking about hell today. A lot of times people don't want to talk about it because it might be scary. And, you know, we have even people in the Christian realm that they have removed the whole teaching of hell out of the Bibles. Because it's like, you know, some people, you know, it's one of those teachings that it's hard for some to grasp. It's also one of the most misunderstood teachings in the Bible, the whole idea of hell. You know, we don't want to talk about hell because we just want to talk about heaven because it's nicer, you know. But Jesus talked about there are two places. You see, most people also said to you that they choose not to believe in hell because they would not believe in a God that would send people to hell. You say, I would not believe. If God is so loved, then He cannot send people to hell. And it's obvious that they have a misrepresentation of who God is, or they have not really studied what the Bible says about hell. You see, I just found some research, not even a year ago, in 2011, October 28, 2011. According to LifeWay Research, 60% of Americans believe that hell is a real place. Just 60%. So there's a 20%, 40% that don't believe. They believe it's a real, 60% believes a real place, but you had to be real bad to go there, according to that research. Now, 67% of Americans believe heaven is a real place. Only 67%. 45% of Americans believe there are many ways to go to heaven. Now, it's interesting because when you get the whole teaching of heaven and hell, you get those straight from the Bible. The thing is that even in our society, the Word of God has been attacked. And people want to change certain things because they just don't want it. They just don't like it in there. You see that even with the homosexuality thing these days. They want to take certain things in the Bible because, oh, that offends people. Well, I got news for you. Jesus offended a lot of people. And he's going to continue doing so these days too. The Word of God has been attacked these days. People don't... They want to create their own Bible to say what they want it to say. Like I said, the beliefs of hell and heaven come straight from the Bible. Now, Ed Stetzer is one of the people from the research that I just showed you. He said that people like to believe in a generic Christianish God with a cafeteria doctrine. People want to believe in a generic Christianish God, you know, in a cafeteria doctrine. In other words, like, you know, you go to the cafeteria, you get what you like. Right? When you go to the cafeteria, you don't get things you don't want to eat. So that's what we want theology. That's what we want God and the Bible to do for us today. You see, this is why I wanted to go back to the whole idea of redefining really our theology, redefining really what we believe. Because in order for us to stand for what we believe, we need to know what it is. See, the Word of God is the ultimate authority. Our beliefs must come from it. And we don't have the luxury to change what we don't like. The Bible says, even in the Old Testament and the New Testament, do not add, do not take away. So we need to talk about this whole idea of hell because a lot of people have a misconception. Like I said, there's a book out there entitled Love Wins, and they are Christian people. But they have eliminated, they said that at the end of times, everyone will be saved. In other words, like they eradicated, they eliminated hell from the whole teachings of the Bible. And I got news for those people because Jesus talked a lot about hell. And when Jesus taught about hell, he talked about it as a real place. If we believe, it's interesting, people believe hell, heaven is real, but they don't want to believe that hell is. You cannot take one without the other. Because, you know, in our society, most are you're a good person, you're going to go to heaven. Who told you that? Where did you get those beliefs? Jesus spent a lot of times teaching the people. He taught a lot of times about hell as a dreadful place that you don't want to go there. You see, when people in our society, they're sending everybody to hell. Like, if they knew what hell is, they would not even say, go to hell. Like, they tell somebody. They had no idea, but we use it just like we use Jesus as a curse word today. But it's like, maybe that's one of the reasons why people don't believe, because it's just so common. People just say it. Nonetheless, it's in the Bible. And we need to deal with this thing. You know, teach the whole counsel of God. Jesus, like I said, what a better way for us to know what hell is, just to hear what Jesus would say to us. Hell is a place created for Satan and his angels. Now, the wicked, ungodly people will also end up there, according to what Jesus said. Matthew 25, you got your Bibles with you. Jesus taught in parables, and he talked about, thank you, Jared, he's right there on target. He talked about the sheep and the goats. I mean, Matthew 25, you hear about, like, he's talking about the end times. Always got to be ready. And then he got this in chapter 25, verse 31 through 46, there's a teaching about the sheep and the goats. And you wonder, well, the sheep and the goats, what's that? What Jesus did, he categorizes people in two. He placed people in two categories. They're either sheep or they're either goats. And later on, you're going to find out that the sheep are called the righteous. The goats are called the unrighteous, the wicked. So at the end of times, because he starts in verse 31, you got your Bible, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heaven, in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. So you have two kinds of people at the end of times. Because the Bible talks about there's two ways. It's either heaven, it's either hell. Righteous and unrighteous. The Bible talks about life and death. So Jesus is the one talking. That's what I said. Let's go back to see what it is that Jesus said. Now remember, it's a time of judgment, and there are two categories, two people. The sheep on the right, the goats on the left, and then he will say to the one on the right, say, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. You know the story. And you know, you gave me something to drink. I was in jail. You came and visited me. And they said, but when did we see you like that? And then the king would say, because you did it to those least of mine. You did it to me. And then here comes the other part for the unrighteous. The verse that we're going to be dealing with. Verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. So from the get-go, Jesus is telling us that there is an eternal fire out there. That's the description of hell. And it says that who goes there? It says it's being prepared. The word prepared, made ready. It's being ready for Satan and his angel from the beginning. But also, the unrighteous, the wicked, will end up there, according to what Jesus said. Depart from me. Remember, we already dealt with the whole idea of depart from me. There were some people that they were doing a lot of things for Jesus, and at the end of the day, he says, I never knew you. Depart from me. You don't want to hear those words at the end of times. You want to hear, welcome to enjoy the inheritance, the kingdom of heaven prepared for you. So there's a kingdom of heaven, and there is hell. Jesus already talked about it. You see, notice how he described it as an eternal fire. You find that description all throughout the New Testament. A place of torment. Eternal. Heaven is eternal. So is hell. Now, there are people that I know that went to the same school that I did, and their theology about hell, now they said that it's not eternal anymore. That eventually you're going to be destroyed. And then, you know, they call that you're going to be annihilated. You're going to... It's like, is that what, I mean, Jesus said it's eternal. Why is it that they're changing it today? Attacking the word of God. So they say that, oh, eventually you're going to suffer, but then you're going to stop suffering. It's, you know, you're going to die. You're going to be destroyed. Not according to what Jesus said. And you see, that's what I wanted to break down, the whole idea of hell, because I realized there's so many things in the Bible about it, and I cannot just bring it to you in one sermon. So the second part of this sermon is going to come back next week. So we get to see more. Who goes there and how we can escape it. But we need to understand the description. Jesus says it's an eternal fire. Prepare for Satan, the devil, and his angels. But now, you notice, it says, depart from me. You who are cursed into, you also being cursed into the eternal fire. That's where Satan and his angels are going to go. Now, in our society and movies, we have this idea that Satan is in charge in hell. But he's a captain with a fork, you know. And it's like, Satan is not in charge in hell. He's going to go there. You see, that's Satan's future. That's why he's running around trying to deceive people, because he doesn't want to go by himself to hell. So he wants to take as many people as he can with him. So Jesus says, being prepared for Satan and his angel. Why? What happened to Satan and his angel that they need to go to a place like that? In 2 Peter 2:4, it says that angels sin. They rebel against God, and God sent them to hell. If you go to 2 Peter 2:4, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. Now, the word for hell here is the word Tartarus, which means the place of the damned or condemned. So you see, there's a place for the saved. There's also a place for the condemned, the people that will be damned at the end of times. And that's what we know as hell. So angels sin. So if angels sin, God created them to worship him, and they rebel against God. You know, that's how Satan, when Satan fell, he took a third of the angels, and those angels became what we know as demons. He took them, and so God already set up a place to punish them one day. So that's their future. That's their destiny in hell. They're not there yet. They're running around in our society today, in case you didn't know. Their destiny, yes, he lost the battle, but that has not been consummated. That has not been fulfilled. He's going to be there to be punished forever and ever. You understand the whole idea of this hell, the concept? That's where Satan was prepared for him and his angels, because they sinned. There's another text. Also in Jude 1:6. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. We know there's a judgment coming on the great day. I always say, for the Christian, you don't have to worry about that because you're already with the Lord. But people who have not the Lord, man, even angels, I mean, you wonder, where are those angels? Like, he says he has them bound somewhere in a different realm that we are not familiar with. But in the day of judgment, they're going to be then finally thrown in there forever and ever, because Jesus says the eternal fire. Now, hell exists because evil must be punished. They were evil. They did something that God told them not to do. There's going to be some punishment. And if God, I love what Peter, when you read Peter, he talks about also Sodom and Gomorrah, people that misbehave, people that sin against God. If God did not spare his own angels, do you think he's going to spare people when they sin against him? But sent them to hell. That's where they're going to end up. And then he says right there, according to the parable of Jesus, that the unrighteous, the wicked, sinful people also they want to end up in hell. Because hell exists because evil must be punished. To me, when I hear that, that's the great news, because you know that there's a lot of evil in this world. And eventually, when you wonder, like, Lord, how long? One day evil is going to be wiped out. It's going to be punished. We're looking forward to that. Evil and sin will be out of the picture. Where is evil going to go? In hell, where Satan is. Now, Randy Alcorn, he wrote a great book about heaven, this thick. He says, sin has no excuse. I mean, that's how serious God is about sin. See, the wages of sin is death. He told Adam and Eve, if you sin, when you disobey, you will surely die. And God means what he says and says what he means. So it's like, that's where the wicked will end up. So hell is really a prison, an eternal prison, place of darkness. Like I say, it exists because evil must be punished. I mean, you look at our society, whether any society in the world, I guarantee you they have this thing going on. They have a justice system. Whether they believe in God or not, every society in the world have a justice system. You do something wrong based on their standard, you get punished for it. I mean, everywhere you can look up. There can be a tribe in Africa that people have, you know, they might be cannibals, but they have, nonetheless, they have a leader there in that tribe, and they do have a justice system. Why do you think we have prisons in our society? Because whatever people do wrong needs to be punished. So the choices people make in life have severe consequences. You see, we have prisons, and yes, our justice system might not be the best in the world, but we're better than some of the other Latin American countries. You'd rather go to prison here, like Solomon was talking about, than you're going to go to prison in the Dominican Republic or Mexico. You'd rather go to jail here, because at least they're gonna look at the evidence and other things. Other places, they don't care about the evidence. You're in prison, I mean, they put you to jail, and then they start finding out if there's evidence out there. But like I said, every country have a justice system. We got that because when people violate the laws of that nation, what happens? They get punished. You see, you go speeding up 95 on Victory. If they catch you, you're going to go to jail. And they're going to give you a ticket. You see, somebody said to somebody, I was listening to a preacher, he said, you cannot do whatever you want in this society. You know, we live in a world that say, I don't want to go to church because they tell me what to do. But you cannot do everything you want. I mean, try, drive 95 there, or go naked on the street to see something doesn't happen to you. They bring you, they probably think you're nuts, you're crazy, and they're going to apply the law. There are laws. So when people break those things, they get punished. So they rebel against God. The angels rebel against God. They're going to go to hell. People that rebel against God, that's where they're going to end up. Because look at the wicked. Depart from me, Jesus told them. You are cursed into the eternal fire. For I was hungry and you did nothing for me. And look at verse 46 of Matthew 25. It says, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. You see, there's eternal life. There is eternal punishment. And the whole punishment thing is hell. I mean, like in the dungeons. I mean, you know, it's interesting. When you look at in the prison system, they do have a place. When you really misbehave in prison, they throw you in the hole. You know, it's almost like it's dark and, you know, nobody's going to visit you. It's almost like, oh, you're going to be bad here? Sin deserves punishment. Remember what the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. And all of us, because we're sinful people, we fall short of the glory of God. In our own goodness, we cannot make it to heaven. We talked about that. Hell exists because evil must be punished. And the time is coming when evil, sin, will be punished in hell. Hell, my brothers and sisters, is the testimony of God's justice. God is love. God is a jealous God. He's also a consuming fire. A lot of times people don't realize that. And people's like, well, how can he be loving? Oh, you went through the Old Testament. You think that he's punishing people. You see, he's always sharing grace. And before God punishes somebody, you know what he does? He warns you. Even a couple of times, if people don't get it, then he comes. Even to his own people, to the Jewish people, he says, if you do this, this is going to happen. But if you do the other part, that's going to happen. So God will warn people before he wanted to destroy a town named Nineveh. He sent a prophet to warn that. Jonah went there to preach to the Ninevites because the Ninevites were doing so many things that were not in accordance to God's word. Jonah came and said, you know, in 40 days, if you guys don't change, the Lord is going to destroy you. But the king, they listened. And then God did not destroy Nineveh. Jonah got angry at God because Jonah thought that the Ninevites deserved to be destroyed because they were so bad. But God showed mercy because if you repent and you do what God tells you to do, you don't have to worry about even hell. So it's a testimony that God is a God of justice. God has determined to punish evil and sin one day in hell. Like I say, every society in the world, prisoners get punished for what they do when they break the law. Justice will be served that day of the judgment day when Jesus comes and he's the judge. And he says to the one on the right, welcome. To the one on the left, depart from me. One will go to eternal life, one will go to eternal. You see, eternal. That means that we'll continue forever. It goes against some of the theology that we hear today. Now, God already determined that He's going to do that. But the question is, when I was preparing that, what is God waiting for then? I mean, some days I wonder, like, Lord, anytime now. Because I see what's going on in our society. It's like, Lord, your kingdom come. In the Lord's Prayer, or the model prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. Anytime now, Lord. What is God waiting for? Why hasn't He started this thing? Why? Because sometimes, you know, the evil, you read about that woman that got killed in Iraq, and, you know, it was like so much evil in this world. Lord, how long? When are you going to just wipe out evil and those people that did those bad things be punished? When? You know what God's waiting for? God, once again, is giving the whole world a chance to come back to Him. God doesn't want the world to perish. He wants them to come back. Now, in Exodus 34, 6 and 7, we talk about that the Lord is slow to anger, great in power, and He will not leave the guilty unpunished. Whoever is guilty, yeah, He might show you grace, but He's going to punish you. It's almost like whatever you do, you deserve punishment. Then in Nahum 1:3, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power. The Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. So there's a punishment coming on to people. I mean, even to Adam and Eve, they were punished. They were kicked out of the garden. But even though when He kicked them out, He showed them grace because He provided a means by which they can come back to God. God will not leave the wicked. God will put an end to the wickedness in this world, to evil and sin. And to me, that's comforting. I find comfort in that because knowing that whatever bad things people have done to me, or, you know, evil that you see in the world, that you want, like, how can people do that? You go to a school and you shoot out everybody because you don't like him, or somebody made you mad and you want to kill him. Eventually, all that stuff is going to end. And I look forward to that. When you go into a world where evil will no longer be there, sin will not be there, our vocabulary will change. We will not talk about, there won't be any more competition, I don't think, either. Every time you compete, somebody loses. So think about all the games, you know, the competition, none of that stuff, because we will not know what to lose is when you are there in glory with Him. And those who are over there will never know what winning is. Because they are in hell, being punished. You see, why hasn't He done that right now? Like, we're waiting, like, to wipe out evil. You know, sometimes people say, well, if God is so good, why do we have so much evil in this world? We live in a fallen world. As beautiful as we think it is, it's falling. It's going to be destroyed. It's waiting for the time. I mean, even Paul says that creation itself is groaning, waiting to be liberated. Because, people try to save the earth. They're not going to be... You can go green anytime you want. You're not going to be able to save it. Because God already said that one day He's going to change it. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Because this earth that we have is polluted. It's going bad. God, what are you waiting for then? I tell you what God is waiting for. He's waiting for people to come back to Him in their own terms. You see, people will say, I refuse to believe in a God that's sending people to hell. I got news for you. God's not sending anybody to hell. The only people really that God wanted to send to hell was Satan and his angels. The wicked go there because the choices they make, we have free choice. God cannot take that away from you. I mean, as great as He is, you see, God could just make you love Him. But He doesn't. If He did that, He would stop being God. He already created you with the ability to choose, and He expects you to come to Him in your turn. All throughout Scripture, you hear that. Exodus 18, 23. Exodus 18, 23, we read. the wrong scripture. No, no, yeah, I get Ezekiel, but this one in Exodus 20, let me see what it is. Verse 32. It's Ezekiel. Ezekiel 18, 23. Let me read that for you. So you see that God's not sending anybody to hell. God doesn't want people to go to hell. Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked? Declares the sovereign Lord. Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live? So how can you tell me that God is the one sending people to hell when he says that he doesn't take pleasure, he doesn't delight in the death of the wicked? Rather, you know what delights him? When they come to him. So what is God waiting for? He's waiting for people to come to him before it's too late. Also look, Ezekiel, the same, 18:32. For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. That's God's calling our nation even today. People, repent and live. I take pleasure when you die and you're already wicked. But you must come to me. In 1 Timothy 2:4, it says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved. That's God's desire, all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So how can people tell you, like, oh, God, how can be so loving and send people? He's not sending anybody to hell. You go to hell because of the choices you make. He expects people to come to him. He wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But you got to come. He doesn't delight in the death of the wicked, but that they will. He delights when they come to him. 2 Peter 3:2, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. What is God waiting for? You ask for people to come. And you and I be telling people, announcing it, so that they know there's a time it's going to come. Even if you die without God in your heart, where do you think you're going to go? God is not sending anyone to hell, but the choices that we make are real, and they do have consequences. It boils down to the whole idea of choosing. God is giving the world a chance to choose him, to choose life, to turn away. To turn away from God is really to choose hell. Not wanting God is wanting the other place. It's interesting because even in the Old Testament, to the Jewish people, God said the same thing. In Deuteronomy 11:26, he says, see, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse, two places, heaven and hell, life or death. I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse, a blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord, your God, that I'm giving you today, a curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord, your God, and turn from the way that I commanded you today by following other gods. Even to his own people, those the children of God, he said before him that choose. I always go back to the Matrix. I mean, you think about it, it's like, it might be funny, but it's like you gotta choose either this one and this one. There's no GPS around it, there's no other route, there's no other alternative. It's either two ways for the world, a blessing or a curse. A blessing if you follow the Lord. But if you don't follow him, then you'll be cursed. Deuteronomy 30:19 said, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. And then Moses said to them, now choose life. You and I need to choose wisely. And you and I, we've already chosen Jesus Christ. We do not have to worry about hell. Because you'll be, like the Bible describes, the sheep, the righteous, the ones that will enjoy heaven with him. See, God's telling the world today to choose life and not destruction. The choices we make today are obvious. How do we know the choices we make? Because with the choices, every choice we make, we're either walking towards God or we're either walking towards the devil. Even with the choices, as simple as you might think they are, We're either getting closer to God or we're getting farther away from Him. He told the Israelites, and He's telling the world today, choose wisely. Our actions will tell others what we have chosen. You and I need to continue choosing Jesus, because He's the only one that's going to save us from the awful place known as hell. Jesus Christ told us, hell exists. It's an awful place. It's described as the lake of fire. It exists because sin must be punished. Evil has to be punished, dealt with. And He's going to deal with that eventually. He testified to the justice of God. He's a just God. He's not going to change His mind. If He said that's there, and you don't, I mean, but He's giving the world a chance. So you see, it boils down, which one are you going to choose? And you want to like, hello, I mean, I'm going to choose life. But you see how you choose Him? By walking according to what He's already telling you. You choose the other part. You're also walking not according to what God's telling you. You're walking according to your own pattern. You're walking according to the world pattern. And then at the end of time, when you say, Lord, what happened? He's going to say, depart from me, because I never knew you. Hell is a real place. And it's sad that in our society, even among Christians, maybe statistically speaking, there might be a couple of you here that probably don't believe it's a real place. Jesus believed it's real. And Jesus says Satan one day and his angels, the demons, are going to be punished, and the wicked will go there. So next week, we're going to talk about how to escape such a place. And we're going to find out more about more descriptions that the Bible talks about. I mean, talking about how bad, really, that place is going to be. You read in Revelation, in that word appears so many times, that somebody's thrown into the lake of fire. Why? Just because God wanted to throw him in there? That's the choice they made. Choose Jesus Christ and hang on to Him. Because this world, I mean, you know, it's really going. The way we do things in our society, it doesn't even look like God at all. And where do you think they're going to end up? The Bible says, I mean, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. And then He says, you keep on reading, whoever believes in Him is fine. Whoever does not believe already stands condemned in hell. The praise team is going to come, and they're going to sing the final songs of invitation. So it's a dreadful place, but you and I that are in Christ don't need to panic, because the Bible already said there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's my prayer, that you and I be always in Christ Jesus, and we don't even have to worry about hell, because you and I will not be going there. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you, and I pray that each day we can be zealous students of your word, and study and examine the scripture to find out really what it is that you said. Lord, we know that you love us in such a way. And from the beginning, we were already on our way to hell because mankind failed you. We're sinful people. But even though we sinned, you provided a way to redeem us, to buy us back, to bring you back to yourself, so that we do not spend eternity in hell, but eternity with you. Thank you that you loved us, that you decided to come to earth yourself to pay for our sin, to pay the penalty of our rebellion. Lord, thank you that you bought us back. There's a lot of people that they don't even acknowledge you, Lord, and we feel bad for them. And give us the courage to always tell them that they still gonna need Jesus. They still gonna need the Redeemer, the Savior, so that they can go to heaven with you forever and ever. Lord, thank you for my brothers and sisters here today. Thank you because you have given us the authority through your word. May we never take away from it or not teach what you say. Always like the song said, give us faith to trust what you say and to do the things that you have called us to do. We love you and we thank you that you loved us first, and you demonstrated it by sending Jesus to die on our behalf. And Lord, we look forward to that moment when one day you're going to say, welcome you to enjoy the kingdom that's being prepared for us. Lord, we look forward with anticipation for that time. In the meantime, we have a lot of work to do to announce and tell others that when that time of judgment comes, we need to be on the right side. We need to join the right team to make it. Lord, thank you so much. It is in Christ Jesus that I pray. Amen.